Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, it's Tuesday, 5th of November. I'm Andy Brassel, she's Jules Breach, and this is Jules and Andy on Football Ramble Daily.
I look at Pochettino and I think he's in a fires of stop raging, and not necessarily through any fault of his own.
They're not a team anymore. They're a bunch of highly paid and quite talented individuals.
Coming up, the aftermath of that horror injury to Andre Gomes and all the other fallout from Everton versus Tottenham and the rest of the Premier League Sunday action, including Jamie Vardy having a party and then some, and of course some of your correspondence, all to come on Jules and Andy. How was your weekend, Jules? I see you completed your triumphant run on BT Sports Score.
Thank you. Yes, it was. Do you know what? What a day on Saturday. Football was just absolutely so entertaining from start to finish. I mean, having Manchester City and Liverpool both play at 3 o'clock is quite a rarity on a Saturday afternoon. So to be able to follow both of their matches sort of at the same time and see, you know, both of them go behind and both of them manage to come back and win their games, especially the way Liverpool managed to turn the game around at Villa Park and get the winner late on. It was just so intense and so hilariously entertaining right towards the end of the day.
Dramatic.
So, yeah, it was dramatic. It was great. And it was so fun to be able to present that. All the emotion, all the fun. It was, a nice ending to my little stint covering Mark Pugach, who is now back from the Rugby World Cup. So I won't be going that far. I'll still be on the same sofa.
Just be shuffling along the sofa.
A little bit further along. And then I also got my first NFL experience this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, I did. I went to see the Texans versus the Jaguars, my first ever NFL game.
I believe it's
at
pronounced
Wembley.
Jaguars.
Jaguars. So that was fun. It was... It wasn't what I was expecting, though. It was such a show from start to finish. Mm. But it took ages. Like, the football was so slow. I was a bit like, come on, guys, get on with it. So, but as a whole, like, the entertainment value from start to finish was really good fun. And I got a bit of a pitch side experience thanks to a couple of people that I know down at Wembley. So that was nice. And, yeah, it was really good fun. I loved it. Very entertaining, but you can't beat proper football, in my opinion.
That's right. I mean, one thing you need to do when you shuffle along the sofa at score on a Saturday afternoon, one thing that might have added to the drama of Saturday, maybe flares and fireworks on the studio. I had some of that in my Saturday evening. I was off in Berlin at the first ever top flight Berlin derby between Union and Hertha, which Union won, thanks to a winner from a former QPR player. But that wasn't really the story. There was lots of atmosphere. There was lots of fireworks and flares. There was lots of quite poor use of those fireworks and flares and quite dangerous use of it in some occasions. But, you know, it didn't take away from what the occasion was, which was absolutely fantastic and historic. You can get some of that and some of the atmosphere on the new episode of At The Match, which is out on the Football Ramble daily feed. I've got some great guests on it as well. And yeah, you really get the feeling of being there, which is the whole point of At The Match. But it did mean that I had a very long Sunday, having arrived back before breakfast, pretty much, to London from Berlin with the whole footballing day ahead of me. And then obviously catching up with all the Sunday Premier League action afterwards. The boys, of course, are off in New York and North America more widely at the moment. RambleLive.com for your ticket needs. I believe there are still a few out there available. They're around New York, Brooklyn, Toronto, Chicago. I believe
Canada, don't they, as well?
Yeah, I believe Spicy P is going to the Toronto show. But that's just an unconfirmed rumour for the moment.
Really?
That's what Luke Moore tells me. Anyway, let's hope Spicy P is in the house. But yeah, that meant that the lads recorded the normal ramble early. So if you're waiting for the cliffhanger ending of that, this show is that, as it always is, of course. But we're focusing on the Sunday Premier League action. And we've got to start at Goodison Park, haven't we, really, Jules? For, I guess, one major reason, one quite upsetting reason. What happened to Andre Gomes? And, of course, it goes without saying that wish him a full recovery. And the early signs for that look optimistic. He's already had the operation, and Everton say it went well. He's received good wishes from all over football. But it was a really jarring moment. I struggle to think of the last time, Jules, in a Premier League match where you had something that just flattened the game. I mean, afterwards, you know, you had like some potentially very emotional moments, like Spurs, I think in a normal circumstance, would have been bereft that they hadn't held on to the league, having not won away since, February in the Premier League, and that was against Fulham, who aren't even in the Premier League anymore. And, you know, losing a 97th minute goal to lose that. The fact that that 97th minute goal was scored by Cenk Tosun, who I think is, as well as a good player, just an exemplary guy who's really not complained or moaned or anything like that while he's been out of the team. And to me, it's pretty clear that he's not Marco Silva's cup of tea. But you could see what it meant to him when he scored that goal. And obviously, that would have been amplified if it was a match that, by that point, anyone actually cared about, which I'm not really sure is the case.
No, by that point, I think, as you say, the atmosphere from what we could hear through our TVs, it just felt really flat in the stadium at Goodison Park. And it's understandable because the players, you could see from the looks on their faces just how distraught they were when they saw Andre Gomes lying on the floor and screaming and crying. And you know, a lot has been made of Son's reaction as well and how upset he was to be kind of involved in that incident. And I also spotted that the fans who were in the front row, and I was watching it on the TV. I managed to get home after the NFL game and watch it, a bit of it on catch up.
Yeah.
And looking at the fans in the crowd, the looks on their faces, it was just looks of horror and distress, and they couldn't believe what they were seeing. And when you see people's reactions like that, you know just how serious that injury is. And of course, that's then going to change the whole atmosphere in the ground, because it becomes, the football match becomes less important and people care more about how the player is and the human side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll come on to the Son side of that a bit more in a minute. But I just wanted to say a little bit about Andre Gomes, because he's a player that I really rate. I know he's very popular amongst Everton fans. I think for the way he's embraced the challenge at Everton as much as anything else, because they have a player who came from Barcelona where he's a 50 million euro player, where it didn't really work out. Whereas, if I'm being brutally honest, it never really looked like it was going to work out. He was a player who shone intermittently at Valencia, and the talent was clear, but it never felt to me like getting dropped into Barcelona in the incredibly high standards that they have there, that he would either get the consistent playing time or the attention really to fully develop his game into what he wanted to develop it into, and so proved to be the case, I think. But you've never really had the impression from him that he's felt like Everton was a step down, or that he's treated Everton as a step down, which I think a lot of players would have. And I think that's of great credit to him and his character, and what a fully invested and decent pro he is. And what I think is also very interesting about Andre Gomes is how he's talked about his spell at Barcelona, and in a time where we are more and more aware of the discussion around stresses on athletes and mental health at the moment. And he's spoken quite candidly about the effects that the pressure at Barcelona and the difficulties he experienced impacted on his mental health. Now, I think someone coming from a place like that, coming from the sort of career trajectory that he's come from, coming through an excellent academy at Benfica, always being feted, always being rated because of the talent he has and the poise he has on the ball, for him to come out there and be that honest about it, I thought was absolutely terrific. I don't know, maybe he felt as if he had no option. Maybe he's just doing it for his own benefit rather than the benefit of others. And that's completely fine as well. But to have that sort of openness from a player who's been part of arguably the biggest club in world club football over the last 10 years, I thought was something that was a real mark of the man. And it makes me think that as well, he'll be able to be at one with his feelings. Clearly, he's got a great support network at Everton as well. And you could tell by the way the players reacted and looked after him when that happened. And, I think you look at players like Cenk Tosun, Luka Dean, you look at the way that Seamus Coleman went in and checked on the Spurs players afterwards, which I thought was absolutely fantastic as well. And again, a real stand-up pro. It makes me think that Gomes will be all right, and he will get through this, and he'll come out the other side and continue to be really valuable for Everton.
Yeah, it clearly takes a lot of strength to be open about mental health problems that he had in the past, and particularly now at this time when he will be going through the rehab and trying, obviously the immediate impact, he'll still be recovering from that injury. But then as he gets back to fitness, it will be so important for him to have, like you say, that support network around him to help, because the psychological effects of being left out of a team because of your injury and not being part of that, and actually not being around your mates, not being around your teammates anymore. And that's really tough for footballers. I've spoken and worked with a lot of footballers that have had difficult injuries in their careers, and they say that's one of the most difficult things, is then not kind of being around the dressing room and not having your routine, because you can't have that same routine anymore. And as well as that being a physical challenge, it's a very, very tough mental challenge, because you have to think very differently and be aware that this actually could take a lot longer than you want it to.
Yeah, and you are doing it on your own. However much anyone else wants to help, the fact is that there's, I think it's sometimes not acknowledged, there's a lot of waiting around as a footballer. You know, there are, you know, lots of nights spent in hotels, even before home games on a lot of occasions. And a lot of time where you can't really do anything, where you just like sat indoors. And that's when your teammates become everything. You know, they are your family. And, you know, the private jokes and the tournaments on the PS4 or the Xbox and all that sort of stuff, games of cards, those are the sort of things that alleviate the boredom. Whereas that is the thing with injury rehab. It's long and it's boring. It's really boring, you know, and that's something that, especially an intelligent guy like him, that's a lot of time to think, actually, isn't it?
It's a lot of time, and it's a lot of alone time as well.
Yeah.
And like you say, he will have his family and his friends around him, but that's different to what his regular routine is. He's
yes.
used to, you know, going to the training ground every day and seeing his teammates and the manager, and he knows what he's got to train towards every weekend because he's got a match at the weekend. And your whole mindset and your whole routine completely changes. And having that psychological help to recover from this injury is going to be really, really important for him. But clearly, as you say, Andy, it does look as though he has a really good support network at the club, and the players clearly all adore him and support him, because seeing the looks on their faces and particularly Cenk Tosun, who you've already mentioned, was, you know, consoling him on the pitch, wasn't he? He was stroking the back of his head when he was down injured. And yeah, you can tell just how much this affected not just him, which is obviously the main thing, but all the players around him as well, which just shows how much they adore him, but also how valuable he is to the team. You talked about his talent. That's been evident since he joined Everton.
That bit of imagination there in the centre is something that maybe they haven't really got from any other central midfield player.
He'll be really missed in his time away, for sure.
It was horrendous what happened, obviously, to Gomez, and we're all wishing him well. And just because something happens like that, you can't say there was intent, or, you know, the injury is so bad that you can now give it a... That was horrific. The poor Son, you know, as if he meant that.
We talked about the effect on Gomes, who's obviously the major victim about this, but what about the effect on Son?
Yeah, it's he was shown a yellow card, wasn't he, by Martin Atkinson at the time for the challenge. And then after Martin Atkinson had seen the injury to Andre Gomes, he upgraded it and sent Son off. Now, Son was already distressed because of witnessing Gomez's injury and obviously feeling like he was part of that.
I mean, if he'd have stayed on, like if he hadn't have been sent off, like they would have had to sub him, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think so, because he was clearly not in the frame of mind to carry on playing a football match. And you know, my heart goes out to him, because Son is such a nice person as well. And there clearly would have never been any intent there. And I think the decision to send him off has split opinion from what I've seen different fans saying. But interestingly, there's the referee's view in the Times from Peter Walton, who I work with every single weekend at BT Sport. I just wanted to read you out what Peter Walton, as an ex-Premier League referee, had to say about this. He thinks that Martin Atkinson was actually right to show Son a red card. He said the intent doesn't matter. Now, Peter Walton actually has a previous very similar situation to this. He was the referee when Aaron Ramsey's leg was broken after that tackle by Ryan Shawcross in, I think it was February 2010. Now, Peter said initially in that situation, he was going to caution the Stoke defender, but after seeing the severity of the injury Ramsey had suffered, he said, "I showed a red card." He said, "As a referee, you must judge whether a challenge is careless or reckless or endangers an opponent. The degree of intent does not come into it." And he said, following Son Heung-min's challenge on Andre Gomes at Goodison Park, Martin Atkinson initially took out the yellow card before sending off Son. He said, "Son will not have intended to injure his opponent, but as the Premier League later clarified in a statement, Son was dismissed for endangering the safety of the player."
Now, I've got a lot of time for Peter, but I don't agree with that interpretation of it, because the challenge didn't cause the injury, quite simply. And I think if we're reacting to the outcome rather than the action. I've not heard anyone mention intent anywhere. And that's something that sometimes pundits and fans are criticized for, aren't they? For saying, oh, well, it's about, you know, he didn't mean it. He's not that sort of player. And yeah, I agree with Peter. That doesn't matter.
It doesn't,
at all. But it's quite clear, and it should be quite clear on the VAR review that the challenge has not caused the injury. The landing has caused the injury. And it's just unfortunate. I think a yellow card would have been about right. And I'll be interested to see how this matter progresses. Now, the PGMOL has sort of closed ranks and protected the decision. I think them explaining something publicly is a start. I think in terms of communications between what's happening more globally with refereeing and the application of VAR and communication with fans who are watching the match at home and, of course, most importantly, the fans who are watching in the stadium, I think that's a positive first step. And actually, when I was at the Berlin Derby at the weekend, the winning penalty, which was scored by Sebastian Polter, that was the referee gave it, Dennis Aitekin. Then he took some advice through his earpiece, went over to the screen on the side of the pitch, looked at it, came back, confirmed it was a penalty. And then afterwards, in the mix zone, the bit where the players from both sides come out and talk to journalists, Dennis Aitekin, the ref, he came out as well and explained his decision.
Okay.
And culturally, that's normal in Germany. And I think that's quite a positive thing. And even though generally German fans, I despise the concept of VAR because stadium culture is everything there and they feel it messes with it to an unacceptable degree. But I think the fact that they already have that culture of referees opening, rather than being, the big I am and just saying that's it, that's my decision and it is final. I think the idea of having dialogue, of having explanation, of saying we all want the same thing out of the football experience, I think is quite a positive one. But in terms of this, I don't think it would have been unreasonable. I think there's so much will to protect the man in the middle at the moment. And globally, I think that's not a bad thing at all for referees to be backed. But I just think there's just this overprotectiveness of referees at the moment, that the feeling that VAR at its worst could be a challenge to their authority and that must be stamped down upon with all might at every opportunity. I don't think it's unreasonable for them to come out, especially after such an upsetting incident, and say, you know what, he saw it, he got freaked and he gave him a red card and maybe he shouldn't have done. I don't think that is any slight on Martin Atkinson at all if they come out and say that.
No, because referees are still human beings. And in the heat of that moment with everyone around him, you can understand why that decision was made. With regards to protecting of the referees and VAR, it's been another weekend, hasn't it, where VAR is what everyone's talking about, but we're still yet to see a monitor be used in the Premier League. Now, I spoke to Peter Walton on Saturday at BT Sport about this.
Oh, what do you think about it?
He said that conversations were actually had during the week last week.
Right.
Between the referees. And a lot was made about the fact that a monitor hadn't been used yet. And he was expecting that across the course of the weekend we would see a monitor being used because they were encouraged to use them in this meeting that they had,
right,
he said. And a lot of conversations were had also about the length of time it has taken to make certain decisions and also the lowering of the threshold, because we've seen this weird swing over the last couple of weeks, haven't we?
We
went from the threshold being so high that nothing was being overturned by VAR, so it seemed a bit strange, like, what's the point of it?
Yes.
So then the complete opposite of that over the last 2 weeks, where the tiniest nudge and then they're awarding a penalty. But the kind of overall view I have on it is that we're still not at a point where we're getting any consistency from it. And that's the issue, because the whole point of having VAR was to be able to help the referees make the correct decisions. And I still don't think correct decisions are being made. And sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong.
Yeah, that's true, Jules. Sorry for interrupting. I was just going to say how... I think the thing is, with the bar having been... the ideological bar being having been set unacceptably high, the problem is to fix that in season, it's really difficult because the whole thing around something like this, you roll it out, you know there are going to be a few teething problems, but in order to get consistency, you have to get... It's kind of like changing tactics mid-season. If you're a team and you get a new coach, you've got to get all your ducks in a row at the beginning. You can't have another pre-season in the middle of the season, can you? So for people to know what's accepted, for officials to know what the standard is, to change that mid-season is difficult, and it is going to cause some unevenness. But I think that the whole problem in this game between Everton and Spurs, I mean, it was borderline unwatchable. I just think because of the delays, I mean, you could hear the crowd getting restless, and you don't blame them. It's just totally unacceptable. It's not a decent spectacle for them. I mean, at least if you're at home, you can go and make a cup of tea.
Yeah, that was nothing to do with the Gomez injury. The rest of the game before that was so stop-start, and the decisions were just taking so long to be made. It was almost laughable, wasn't it? It was just a bit like, what is even going on here? And in the space of time that it took for the VAR, I think, was it Anthony Taylor who was the VAR for that game?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was.
Yeah.
The amount of time that he took to make certain decisions.
Well, maybe he was making a cup of tea.
Maybe he was. Martin Atkinson could have gone over to the monitor and just made the decision himself. It just in my mind, it just isn't working at the moment. I was expecting, I was very pro VAR at the start of the season.
Yes.
I was all for it. And I also expected it to be a bit of a tricky start. I expected there to be teething problems. I didn't expect it to be perfect.
Did you expect to see lots more penalties than there were before?
I did, yeah. And it seems it's had the opposite effect, hasn't it?
Yeah.
There's been far less goals being awarded and more goals being taken away, which isn't what we want to see. But yeah, it was a bit of a messy game. And it's a shame, really, because actually building up into the match, it obviously finished 1-1 between Everton and Tottenham in the end, which seems the kind of most irrelevant thing now that we've talked about everything else, whether it was the Gomez injury, the VAR incidents. That seems like the least important thing, when really these are two teams who desperately needed a win going into the game. You would have said neither of them want to come away without a win today, because Everton needed it. Tottenham needed it. Two managers who are under quite a bit of pressure at the moment. And yet we're not even talking about that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you're Marco Silva or Pochettino, you're thinking, oh, well done, Jules and Andy. You spent the first 25 minutes talking about other stuff and you've totally let us off the hook, which is pretty much what is going to happen.
Yeah.
I suppose we can briefly say, nothing's quite right with either team at the moment. Tottenham still look a little pedestrian. I know they're without Harry Kane at the moment, but you expect more dynamism from them.
Well, it's even trickier now because they won't have Son potentially if the red card is upheld.
Yes.
Then obviously he's now going to miss... will it be three? Was it a straight red that he got, or was it two yellows in the end and a sending off? I wasn't actually sure.
Yeah, I think it was a straight red. Yeah.
So then he'll miss three games. So
yeah, it's big.
It's a big loss, isn't it?
Obviously for them. I mean, I kind of think Everton have been unfortunate over the last couple of weeks. I mean, I know there's been a lot said about the Brighton game, a game that, whether you think it was a penalty or not, the one that was awarded there, well, they were well in control of the game up until that point. And then they could have got a bit more of a rub of the green on Sunday against Spurs. So, but for Spurs, I just think this is an absolutely massive week, because of course they put away Crvena Zvezda, Red Star, quite comfortably in London. Going to Belgrade is a different kettle of fish. They are really hard to beat in the Maracanã, as Liverpool found last year. If they lose this, they're in trouble in terms of qualification.
They really are. And their away record is not great either.
No, it's not.
In the Premier League, they haven't won in their last 12 away matches. I mean, that's just not a record that you want to have. And when you've got those, I imagine that as a football team, when you have those stats hanging over you and the press build them up and everyone talks about your away record, the last thing you want is a trip to Belgrade in the Champions League, because as you say, it's a tough place to go. And it's actually exactly going to be a year to the day when Tottenham played Belgrade that Liverpool lost in Belgrade in last year's Champions League.
Yeah,
so they know that that's something that could potentially happen. And as you say, that could be seriously damaging to their Champions League future for this season.
Do you reckon they'll have any flares or fireworks out there?
Probably. I'm expecting it.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Jules and Andy here on Football Ramble Daily. I always want to say I'm Jules Breach.
You're definitely not Jules Breach.
She's Andy Brassel. I'm Andy Brassel. She's Jules Breach.
Hello.
Still, hello. Of course, you can always get in touch with us at Jules Breach, which is her, and at Andy Brassel,
sure?
Which is me.
You sure?
The boys, of course, weren't able to give you the full update on the Betway 40 score because they were off to North America. So here's a Betway 40 score update for you. No one correctly predicted the four first scorers in Betway's 40 score last weekend. It's hard. Come on, give them a break. Yeah. So it rolls over to a colossal £250,000 this week. Tune in on Friday for the boys' selections on the preview show. And go to betway.com/4to-score to lay for free. That's 4to-score, like the number 4to-score. Betway.com/4to-score. And gamble responsibly at all times, please.
Right, let's talk Leicester City. They are flying still. They are back into third in the Premier League after beating Crystal Palace 2-0 on Sunday.
They're and flying. Is that why they're flapping?
They are flying. That was Jamie Vardy's celebration, wasn't it, for the second goal.
He's fun, isn't he?
I mean, he just loves to wind people up, doesn't he? That was hilarious, that celebration. Also, because it was like he had the world's longest arms when he was doing those wings. I was well impressed.
He did a little, didn't
he? Yeah.
It's like one of those.
I think because he had the gloves on as well, so there was like extra extension.
Maybe that's what he is. I've been thinking he's like one of those NBA players with extraordinary hyper-extended wingspan.
He's just something else, Jamie Vardy. He's unstoppable at the moment.
He is.
Nearly 33 years old. He doesn't seem to be slowing down. He's a top scorer in the Premier League. Every single game he plays for Leicester, you expect him to score at least once. You expect him to be just causing an absolute nuisance on the pitch, and he continues to do that. And a lot's been made of, you know, obviously him stepping away from international football and, oh, how England could do with him right now. But actually, since he's taken himself away from international football, it's almost made him be able to focus more on the Premier League.
Liberating.
Yeah, and he is just absolutely flying.
Well, you know what? It worked. There you go. You've gone flying again. It's quite similar to Alan Shearer, actually. Because remember when he stepped away from England duty, that definitely added another year or two onto his Newcastle United career. But I suppose not many people make the Shearer-Vardy comparison, but I do think there's a little bit in that, even though they took different routes to get to the top, because they both had the opportunity to move away from the club that they're most closely associated with and decided to stick with it. Of course, Vardy could have gone to Arsenal, and you know, I think there have been times in the past where you might have thought, should he have done that? You know, should he have gone for that? And he's clearly very happy with his decision. He's someone who, like Shearer, is very comfortable in his own skin,
yeah,
isn't he? And you can see that. And also, he's someone who's a way more intelligent footballer than he gets credit for, because like Shearer, he found a way to adapt his game. And if there is going to be a point where his pace goes, I would back him to find other sides to his game. I mean, the thing is, under Brendan Rodgers, I think it's quite interesting that, you know, he does get that ball over the top to chase, but that's not all his goals. There's more to it, because, you know, when you go back to Leicester's title winning season and you think of that ball over the top for Vardy,
yeah,
you know, you can think of all those goals in all those games, and a lot of them were that. But now, arguably, Leicester are a more complete team now under Brendan Rodgers than they were under Ranieri in that title winning season.
I think Jamie Vardy is better this season than he was in Leicester's title winning season. And
yeah,
Leicester as a whole, I think, are better. I think there's been a lot of comparisons to the title winning squad and to this season's squad, and which one is actually better? Well, statistically, if you look at the points, Leicester have won more points at this stage of a season than they did when they won the title.
All about the running, Jules. All about the running.
It is. But you mentioned Brendan Rodgers and what a difference he's made to Jamie Vardy, and tactically, the way Vardy's been able to adapt as well, as you say. He's gone from being just a simple counter-attacking great striker to a complete number nine now, in my opinion. And since Brendan Rodgers has taken over at Leicester, which was back in March, Vardy scored 19 Premier League goals. 19 Premier League goals in that space of time, which is five more than any other player. And we're obviously considering that you've got the likes of Aguero in that list of players, that obviously Aguero is now getting very close to being above Thierry Henry in the all-time leading top goal scorers in the Premier League. It's phenomenal that Jamie Vardy is on this run of form of scoring goals, 19 since Brendan Rodgers took over.
And what's amazing is he doesn't need a lot of chances either.
Yeah.
Clinical's not the word. As you say, you always expect him to score in that situation. And we were talking about it before, weren't we, before we came in the studio. And so we had a little look at the numbers. He's been having two shots a game all season, and he's still scored 10 from 11.
Yeah, his conversion rate is a joke.
It's astonishing.
Yeah, I think they showed it on Match of the Day as well, that his conversion rate was something like 48%, which is just amazing. Just amazing. Quite considerably higher than any other striker.
I mean, something tells you that's unsustainable. And I suppose, on the other hand,
don't say that. I'm about to get me my fantasy team.
I think the horse has bolted. Really. But I think it says something about the quality of chances provided for him as well. You know, you look at Madison, who was excellent again. Harvey Barnes is becoming more and more important to the team. Damari Gray's like contributing as well. There's so much in there that they have. And then you've got the fullbacks, you've got Ricardo and Chilwell and everything that they have. And he scores so many different types of goal, really, doesn't he, Jamie Vardy?
Yeah.
You feel that he's only at the beginning, really, of his second wind. Can I ask, if you were him, would you delight so much in winding up opposition fans?
Especially Crystal Palace fans, yeah. Most definitely.
A given, a given.
It's an absolute given.
I mean, the difference is you wouldn't be imitating an eagle, you would be a seagull.
Yeah, I would, exactly. Yes. But it's pretty much the same thing, isn't it?
Is it a different type of flapping?
I don't know, I don't know.
You meant to say more refined.
Hey! Well, yeah, actually, I think seagulls are probably more annoying than eagles, aren't they?
Really?
When you talk about the actual bird. Mm. Oh, seagulls in Brighton, they're like vermin.
I've never had a chip stolen from me by an eagle.
No, exactly. I've never seen a real life eagle.
No, I've never had a portion of chips in the Grand Canyon.
Do you know what? The seagulls in Brighton, they're just savage. Literally, you're down by the beach, you're down by Brighton Pier, walking along that promenade, and they are just, they are scavengers. Any kind of food, they are there.
You've got in touch with us with your tweets, which we very much appreciate as always. I wanted to bring in this one at this point from Sal at Sal88. Thanks for getting in touch, mate. It says, as we're just under a third of the way through the season, how about some updated shouts for A, top four, B, bottom three, C, season surprise packages, excluding Brighton, obviously. Aww. It says in brackets here. Put the kibosh on you.
We're not surprised anymore. We're that good.
And D top and D top scorer.
Okay.
Thoughts?
So top four.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool will win the title. Oh, I can't wait for this weekend. Liverpool against Man City.
Sal's not even
so good.
Even ask you for champion. You just have to give top four.
Top four. All right. Yeah. Liverpool, Man City, Leicester, Chelsea.
Wow.
What do you think?
I would go Man City, Liverpool, Leicester, Spurs. I still think Spurs would just about manage it.
In that order. I think City will win it.
Look, it's just the order which they came out of my mouth. That's all that happened there.
What about,
my bottom three will be Norwich, Southampton. I would have said Newcastle United up until they won at West Ham this weekend. But, you know, you just feel they'll probably eke out enough results for them to get away with it. I'm gonna go with Watford, Norwich, Southampton.
Yeah, I'm the same three, but I think it's going to be, I think Norwich will finish bottom, Watford second bottom.
Right.
I think Southampton will be in the bottom three, but I think it's going to be very, very close with them and Newcastle.
You know, it's times like this when I wish that the playoffs were structured as they were in 86, 87 and 87, 88. I'm showing my age here. But when it was done in the same way that it's done in Germany, where the you have the team that's just above the relegation zone. So like the third bottom one.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, the third
fourth
bottom.
Bottom.
Third bottom.
Oh,
well,
third
well, yeah, it could be fourth bottom. Okay. Let's relegate four. Come on.
Okay.
It's been done before. Against the team that finishes outside the automatic promotion playoffs, the automatic promotion places in the second tier. So in 86, 87,
you had
Charlton versus Leeds.
Yeah.
And they had to, in the end, play a third game at St Andrews, which Charlton won through two Peter Shurtleff headers to stay up and stop Leeds from coming up. And then the following season, 87, 88, it was two-legged and Middlesbrough squeezed past Chelsea. And after the second leg, the Chelsea fans, well, some of them went ahead and smashed up Stamford Bridge.
That is
so
brutal,
presumably the Borough supporters and players had to wait until they got back to Middlesbrough to start their party. But I love that. Like when it happens in Germany, it's so exciting.
Yeah, I bet it is. That's exciting. But when you support a team who could be very close to that stage most seasons, as a Brighton fan, I don't think I want that rule. I'd rather not.
No.
I don't think I could cope with that. That's too harsh.
I mean, the thing is, you'd have to pay for the privilege. It wouldn't even be included with your season ticket.
Exactly.
Would it? Season surprise, going back to Sal's tweet.
Sheffield United.
Yeah,
It's got to be. What are they, sixth?
Yeah.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Although, on the other hand, Norwich do have more points than I thought they would have by this stage.
Really?
Yeah. Even though they've bottomed out since that Manchester City win.
You thought they'd be worse?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I to be fair, as a point of reference, I don't really watch the Championship that much anymore. So, I'm prepared to be surprised.
I'm amazed by Sheffield United. I think that what Chris Wilder is doing and the results they are picking up and the points they've got to be where they are in the Premier League table is absolutely phenomenal, in my opinion. I expected them to do well, but I did not expect them to do this well, particularly in the style of play and, you know, the philosophy that he has at that club and the way that that team plays. I just didn't think it'd be sustainable. And especially because they aren't really scoring goals. It was incredible that they scored three first half goals. They hadn't scored three first half goals in a Premier League game since May 1993. That's how long they hadn't scored three first half goals in the top flight.
So they still had that crazy lime green away strip in those days, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. My goodness. It was like one of those Stabilo Boss highlighters, but done all over a shirt.
Oh, it's like Man City's away kit this season. I'm not a fan of that. That's like highlighters as well, isn't it?
Summary, isn't it? And as winter's drawing in, I've got to be in favour of that. Top scorer before we leave this tweet.
Top scorer. Vardy or Aguero?
Raheem Sterling.
You reckon?
I'm having Sterling, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I just think he'll get so many opportunities to burst into the box in that Manchester City side, and I see them motoring. But as I said, I just released my top four out of my mouth in the order they came out. Don't read anything into it. Thanks for that, Sal. There's also one I want to get to quickly from Andy Crisp at A Crispix.
Oh, I want crisps now.
So suggestible. Me too. Salt and shaker do.
Oh, I love a bit of salt and vinegar.
Yeah. A bit of West Ham chat would be interesting. Particularly interested in why they're so devoid of creativity and how to get Haller firing. It seems too easy to blame all the current issues on Fabianski's injury, though he is clearly a big miss. He clearly is a big miss. You look at that Shelvey free kick and Roberto, who I have a lot of time for, having seen him a lot at Benfica and Olympiacos, he really should have saved that. That was pretty lousy. I mean, he's had a funny career, really, because he's played huge swathes of seasons where he's looked brilliant. And when he's at his best, I mean, he's one of those footballers I love watching. But his whole career has been peppered by like really quite costly errors as well. West Ham have seen more of that so far than the good bits. But in terms of creativity, well, Pablo Farnals needs to settle. When he does, I think that will make an enormous difference. I did wonder with Haller. I mean, I said at the start of the season, the players he had around him at Eintracht Frankfurt, they had such a great click, him and Jovic and Rebic. It's clear that there is talent in that West Ham team. You look at Yarmolenko as well. Snodgrass has started to come back to form. But I don't think you can create that kind of chemistry overnight. I think it takes time.
I think that result from the weekend was probably my biggest surprise result. West Ham 2, Newcastle 3. First of all, because
Newcastle scored
three goals.
Yeah.
And secondly, because this West Ham was just not the West Ham that I was used to seeing this season, and especially at home as well, because they've actually had a decent home record fairly recently. Mm. Also, their season has just been a bit of an odd one, because obviously they started off with that heavy defeat against Manchester City. Then they went on quite a decent run, didn't they? And then all of a sudden, the last four or five games have just been a bit strange. I can't put my finger on what's not right at West Ham, because actually on paper, when you look at the squad, they've got an excellent team. They've got an excellent starting 11, and they've got very good bench players as well.
And they should have. I mean, they've spent a few quid. I mean, I just wonder, it seems to me that the fall in form seems to have coincided with people sitting up and going, oh, hello, could they push towards the European place? I've heard people mention the top four a couple of weeks ago, which, I mean, is crazy talk as far as I'm concerned, but still.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I wouldn't have put West Ham to finish top four. European place, you could see that they could have pushed for that if they'd kept their form up from their nice little run that they had. And when at the time we were seeing United and Chelsea and Arsenal and Spurs kind of struggle to get consistency. So at that stage you were saying, oh yeah, European football possibly. Mm-hmm. But now looking at the way things have kind of fallen off, I'm not really sure where they're at. They've confused me a bit.
No, that's right. And I think to keep pace with European places, I mean, you need to be consistent. The standard at the top bit of the table's pretty high, isn't it? I think that's just about us for this week, isn't it?
It is indeed. I'm off to watch Chelsea against Ajax tonight in the Champions League. My actual first visit to Stamford Bridge. Can you believe that?
Really? Is that right?
Never been before. So I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to seeing Frank Lampard's team in the flesh this season, because I just think that they are a really exciting team to watch. Lots of young stars on show. And based on the first time, well, a couple of weeks ago when it was Ajax against Chelsea, the return leg, it was such an open, dynamic, exciting game to watch. So I'm expecting much of the same tonight.
Yeah, well, as it's your first visit to Stamford Bridge, I'm not one of those journalists who goes on about free food, because if I was listening to this show, that was the last thing, that would be the last thing I wanted to hear about. But...
Oh, really? But, am I in for a treat?
Draw your own conclusions. Your own conclusions.
Well, I'll let you know how that food is next week.
It's been great to have you listening. If you have any comments on football-related food or anything else, any of your questions, we'd love to have them. Thanks for getting in touch with Twitter. As we said, you can also get in touch via Jules and Andy at footballrambledaily.com. Enjoy the week's football and see you next week.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.